Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And good morning, everybody. It is Wednesday, August 28th. That's 2 days after my birthday, folks. You're still allowed to wish me a belated happy birthday. And no, I'm just kidding. I actually got tired of it on Facebook. Fred Jackson is in the studio. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning. You don't look a day older. 2 days older.
But I don't look 2 days old. You don't look a day older than 66. Wesley Wildman, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning and glad to be on. And I did not listen to the program on your birthday. Did anything happen special or was it just another day?
No, I got some well wishes.
Okay, good.
I was going to say on Facebook, you know, sometimes you get inundated with people who wishing you, and that's always awesome.
Yep.
But you feel compelled to answer everybody.
Oh yeah.
And so that gets a little time consuming.
We played a special rendition of Happy Birthday.
That's it. Yes. That's what I was asking.
So they sang Happy Birthday to me in devotions.
Happy birthday to you.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you.
That's
happy
what I was hoping for.
That was some guy. Who's that singing it? Elvis something? Elvis something. I don't remember. So, anyway.
Well, good.
It's not all about me.
No, sure. Sure, it's not. Just 2 days later, we're letting
2 days later,
we're still birthday.
singing happy birthday to me. And but it is August 28th, and I'm just going to tell you, we had our story meeting earlier here in the day to go over the kind of things we're going to be covering. Steve Jordahl will be joining us roughly an hour from now. Abraham Hamilton III, General Counsel, host of the Hamilton Corner, heard on AFR, will be joining us at the bottom of the hour at 10:33 or 10:34 or so. The number of issues that are increasingly seeming almost like life and death to our republic just seem to be growing exponentially. You're going, how can that be real? How can that be happening? But there is so much going on. I know we say that every day, but we are about just a little over 2 months from the election, November 5th.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, a lot could happen between now and then.
That's for sure. You know, I go to church on Sunday, and folks know I work at American Family Radio. And several, you know, usually a couple of times every Sunday, what in the world's going on, Fred?
Yes, yes.
What in the world is going on? And I kind of say, you know, and gets into a discussion that's all part of spiritual warfare, as we've talked about before. Everything political is connected to where people are spiritually.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So don't forget that. You know, some people like to say, well, I don't want to deal with the news of the day.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about Christians.
Sure.
I just, you know, I turn it all off. Well, you shouldn't do that, folks.
Right.
Because what's happening in this country right now is a result of the spiritual warfare, which is at a high octane level right now.
Sure.
Right.
So that's what's going on in your country, folks.
Yeah, and it should, for those who, listen, if you think it's hard for you to listen to the news of the day, it's hard for us. I mean, I know this is kind of our job. It is a ministry, but it affects us too, the weight of it. However, let me just encourage you, spend some time getting familiar with what's happening. I recommend listening to American Family Radio, listening to our news broadcasts, getting an update in your email box every day from American Family News, getting the Stan magazine, you know, that we have the Stan radio, we have the Stan blog site. Get immersed a little bit, Wesley, in these kinds of things. And if you feel the weight of that, that's not a bad thing. Get on your knees and pray for our country. To turn that burden And that what you feel, that that sense of being grieved at what's happening, pray, people. Yes. Intercede, cry out to God. Let that drive you to your knees. Don't just simply feel the weight of it and then just get back in line at Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks and forget about it. Cry out to God.
Yeah, absolutely. And that gives us an opportunity. That's how I look at this coming full circle. Now, that doesn't mean I don't also at times have that same weight. I carry that too at times. But I'm those moments are further and further fewer the more I study God's word.
Amen.
The more I pray, the more I realized of my role as a Christian and where God's placed us. And so trying to back up a little bit and say another way of looking at it is, one, look at it as an opportunity to do something about it in whatever phase God's given you. And also remember that we have local responsibilities, meaning your family, your church, and then when given an opportunity, vote.
Yes. Amen.
So there's ways that, and keeping things in perspective. But I do really appreciate, and I do like the fact that you said that when the weight and the burden of the things going on, don't ignore that and push it off like it doesn't exist.
Right.
But at the same time, have a healthy dose of it in order for that to motivate you to do, to motivate you to pray, to give it to God, because ultimately we know the end game. We miss, as Christians, we use that all the time, a little bit in a cliche way, but it is true. At the end of the day, as a Christian, we know that our eternal hope is in Christ. We have a place waiting for us when we die.
Amen.
And that we have responsibility on this earth. And I'm thinking about leading my kids to Christ.
Amen.
Leading our people that I have an opportunity to coach in Christ. Like, we have a goal here. And while there are negative things going on, and we're going to cover those things, these are things that we need to know about.
Yeah, because
and in some ways, we've gotten here because we could all make an argument because we've a lot of Christians has done the head in the sand. And it doesn't affect me, or it's messy. We've gotten here in a lot of ways because of that.
And that dovetails perfectly with what I was going to add to this discussion. And then we'll try to leave preach mode here and get on to the news.
Yeah, but we will. Yeah.
Yes, those things do kind of invade your life and your comfort of your life. And your life might have plenty of problems of its own. You say, I don't know if I can listen to what's happening in our country. But you know what? It's going to invade your life one way or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
If you do nothing now, they may come knocking on the door, or they may take over your school, or we could lose the republic. And then it's going to be depressing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be depressing, and you're not going to be able to do anything about it.
So now you can.
So now you can.
Yeah. Amen.
All right. Now listen, we got three people. You teach Sunday school sometimes, Fred. Wesley has some preaching him as well.
Yeah.
So we just kind of ignited that, and it does provide a good context for what we're going to be discussing.
Amen.
A lot of talk lately about, when is Vice President Harris going to give an interview, going to sit down with a reporter and maybe face some tough questions. Now, if I was to say this morning she has made her decision to do her first interview, you would be shocked to learn if she chose Fox News.
Yes.
She did not. Instead, as a lot of people are saying, she chose CNN. And here are the parameters. She is going to sit down for a recorded interview.
Which means eventually edited.
And eventually edited nicely.
Yes. Sure.
Also, she wanted somebody to hold her hand, which this is really unusual. Yeah. Think back when Joe Biden, you know, candidate, Barack Obama, they didn't invite someone in to sit beside them to help them.
No, not for their interview. They wanted their time.
They wanted their time. I mean, can you imagine Donald Trump saying, I need somebody to help me?
Yes.
They have decided, Kamala Harris has decided, she wants her running mate, Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota, with her in that interview.
Our first interview.
Interview. Well, people had a lot to say about this morning. By the way, the interview is supposed to be recorded, I believe it is today, and it's going to be played back tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. on CNN.
That's going to give plenty of time to edit this interview favorably.
Yes, to make it look real pretty.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders of Arkansas, former White House spokesperson under the Trump administration. She had an interesting reaction to all of this morning. Cut number four.
They know that Kamala Harris can't get through an interview all by herself. There is not a lot of confidence in somebody to become the leader of the free world and ask people to make her president of the United States when she can't even sit down with an interview. And this isn't even a tough interview. This is on CNN. This is one of their media allies. She should take this opportunity to show the American people that she can handle hard questions. It's clear that her own team and her own party think she needs a babysitter, and that's why they're putting her vice presidential nominee on the stage with her so that he can step in and answer questions if things go like the clips we just saw, like she has done in previous interviews.
You know, I would almost be insulted if I worked at CNN today to say, oh, she picked us.
Yeah.
You know, or I'm going to be doing this interview and they chose me because they know I'll go light on me. You know, because I'm really not much of a journalist. I really do believe in the Democratic Party, and I want to try to help Kamala Harris. I mean, like I say, if I worked at CNN today and I was, you know, a half-decent journalist, I would be embarrassed. I really would be.
Well, the fact is, Wesley, Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota and the vice presidential candidate, is an accomplished politician.
That's right.
He is there to bail her out. Now, my belief is, now, if CNN denies this, I probably wouldn't believe them anyway. I think CNN is going to give them the questions ahead of time. All right? I think that's probably one of the stipulations that Harris Walz put on granting the interview. So Kamala Harris will have a practiced initial answer, and then Tim Walz can come along and clean up the mess,
mm-hmm.
any mess that she makes. That seems clearly what this setup is all about.
Yeah, it is a bit confusing, though, because that they would it doesn't she didn't add anything by having him. In fact, she gets criticized the way Sarah Huckabee did. And I don't understand why she would do that in the event that it's recorded. I can see her, if she was going to do an interview live, I would say for her sake, she needs Walz.
Right.
But apparently, the only thing you can clue from here is that it's that bad. Her knowledge up there and her response is that bad that even if we record it, we're not going to get a good answer.
So we got to have the vice president.
Yeah.
Vice presidential candidate. You know that I went to her website. I was talking to my son and I. We talk a lot. Mm-hmm. He works here. He pays an enormous amount of attention. And sometimes it's unhealthy to what's going on. But he said, go check her website out. There's not a single policy
that is
on her website.
That is correct.
I went Kamala Harris president.
Yep.
And I said, no, you're kidding me. Mm-hmm. Now, she touts some of the accomplishments of Biden-Harris, okay? But there's not a single policy provision listed there as to what she's going to do when she becomes president. I was stunned by that.
Yep.
So that says to me, these not only is Kamala Harris in over her head, her team mm-hmm. is in over their heads, and they're scrambling, even at this late date, to figure out what her policies are going to be. That's why she's making promises that are actually things that President Trump has said he was going to do, because she doesn't know what she stands for. If she doesn't know what she stands for, how can she do an interview?
Yeah, I think here's the problem, and this is why she's not putting policy statements out on her website. Because she has a record
right.
with Joe Biden the last 3.5 years on her, what she wants, 67% electric vehicles by within
2032 or something.
Yeah, within 2032. She has flip-flopped on so much. If they put that up on their website, they're really going to disturb their left base, because their left base are the climate change radicals.
Oh, so she can't flip-flop away from what she really believes.
That's right.
Okay,
so
I see.
It's what she really believes plus what they thinks she needs to say in order to win the election. She has to come off as somewhat moderate to the American public because of what she has said about...
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, illegal immigration, what she has said about climate change. Fracking. You name it.
Gun buybacks.
Exactly.
Getting rid of private health care insurance. So her views are in line with... I see what you're saying. Her actual views are in line with the left wing of her party, the radical left. But because she's having to flip-flop to appeal to the center of America... She can't put that up there because then she gets in trouble with the left.
I don't know how she's going to get away with this. I'm curious to see how this plays out because she's had, as we've all pointed out, she's had all these years to figure out that this didn't work. Like, again, I'm not opposed. I'm very open. I don't care how far left you are. If someone's willing to say, I got it wrong,
right,
then I'm willing to hear you out and then you give me an explanation on what we're going to do different.
Yeah.
I'm all for that. But I don't know, as we all can, I mean, it's kind of suspicious that, or not suspicious, it's kind of obvious to what's going on here, the fact that we're 3 months out and you decided that the border's an issue.
Yes.
Man, but you've been a vice president this whole time, the last 3 years, and it's been an issue. It's no more of an issue now as it was then, so what made you change your mind?
Who believes that she's promising to build the wall?
Yes.
Who believes this?
Yeah, this is what she's saying. Axios ran a headline yesterday morning that accused Harris of a flip-flop on the border wall construction. And what it is that as part of this piece of legislation that most Republicans voted against, it was the Biden administration's attempt to try to put a positive spin on the disaster they have created on the southern border. You know, they keep saying a bipartisan committee, with Republicans on it, suggested this. Well, the problem, you got to read the small print in that legislation, which is why most Republicans voted against it.
Right.
Because they, for instance, they wanted more border agents, but it was to do the paperwork,
right,
not to protect the border.
Right.
But there was a line in that bill that said they would allocate so many millions of dollars to build some more border wall. Well, we know what this administration did as soon as Joe Biden was elected president, comes to the White House, and that all ends.
Right.
So what does Kamala Harris really think of the border wall? Well, since this Axios story broke yesterday morning.
And Axios is not a conservative
outlet. Not by any stretch of the imagination. This is a montage, as we like to call it, of what Kamala Harris has said about the border wall over the last several years. Cut number one.
On the subject of transnational gangs, let's be perfectly clear. The president's medieval vanity project is not going to stop them. And he has held up the United States government and its workers around his vanity project called a wall.
This president's medieval vanity project called a wall.
And for him, he talks about that wall. He wants everyone to be preoccupied with his multi-billion dollar vanity project.
This issue is about a vanity project for this president.
Right.
Gee, do you think the talking point included the words vanity project?
and medieval. And, she got medieval in there.
This, I believe Kamala Harris was being honest about her feelings about the wall.
Yeah.
Backed up by the fact, and of course she's flip-flopped on this too, Medicare for all.
Yep.
No person should be called an illegal individual.
People are not illegal.
Yeah. So we know how she really feels, and that's why the American public are saying, wait a minute now, they're scratching their heads and saying, because they're hearing all this stuff, you know, at least Fox has been playing all of this stuff, of what she said about these issues in the past, and now she's kind of saying, well, kind of things have kind of changed, and here's how I feel about these things now.
I think at this point, after looking at the last 5 or 6 months, and with a couple months ago, I just think at this point, the Democratic Party is literally trying everything, because everybody can look around on both parties and say the country's in terrible shape in many different ways, and they're literally trying everything, and including stealing from Trump's success.
Yeah.
Because the things that she's running on now that she's flip-flopped to, President Trump ran on in 2016 and won.
And he's been consistent.
And he's been consistent.
President Trump has been consistent on all these major issues. She calls it a vanity project down there. That was what, that is what launched Donald, candidate Donald Trump, into the White House.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Was in that debate saying, I'm going to build a wall. And he did say Mexico was going to pay for it. And that didn't happen. But that's been his approach this whole time. And I listen, at this point, I do not have any confidence in a significant portion of the American people and their ability to think this through like we're talking about. But I have to hope that at some point they will come around and understand who's who in this and what's what in terms of what these two candidates have been saying all along.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, I've said this before, that you're going to get a suppression of the Democratic voters to just not come out, because it's because they've been insulted. They voted for Biden. They went out of their way to vote. They didn't get their candidate they voted for because he got booted out, and now you've got Kamala in there who polled 1% or less.
Yeah, you're optimistic. I'm pessimistic on this.
Go.
You don't think that her being the first quote unquote black woman as if the Democrats would ever dare define what a woman is.
Right.
You don't think that's going to drive a lot of especially young voters to the polls?
I don't think
vote
so.
For her? Okay.
I don't think. Hey, well,
I hope you're right.
I hope I'm right too. I don't think so. Now, I will say this though, and we can move on to another topic, but I didn't fact check you.
It's okay.
But I wanted to confirm.
My wife fact checks me all the time.
you and your Tony are 100% correct. Just for more confirmation, and anybody can go look right now. I went to Kamala Harris's website for running for president, and I've got Trump's website pulled up. Okay,
both.
And Kamala Harris does not have our. Vice President Kamala Harris does not have her platform, her party's platform, or her position on anything on here. Whereas Trump has, if you go to his, it says, I'm going to give you the exact words. It says the Trump Vance platform policies. And it begins to list down. It gives you 20 out front, and then to read more, you click over. I'll just read the first one here. It says, seal the border and stop migrant invasion.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it's right there. He wants to do boom, 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 boom. And on President or Vice President Kamala Harris, there's nothing.
Yeah. I don't know how she gets away with that.
I don't either.
Go all the way up to the election.
Debate's coming.
I think the internal debate within her operation is probably what's hindering that, because they don't have any core convictions on these issues. They're trying to figure out how to frame the issues. So I saw a headline on MSNBC. We have live feeds from some of the programs, and this was about 5 minutes ago. It says Harris campaign : Vice President does not want an electric vehicle mandate. Well, come on. Listen, maybe the most effective Trump campaign ads are going to be the one we saw this past weekend. Harris debating Harris.
Yeah.
Best debate of the season.
Uh-huh.
And just have what she has said, what she's saying now on all these issues.
The biggest blessing in this election cycle is that we've had 3.5 years of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
That's
they
plan.
Cannot get away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, everything that they've said, all their positions are all there on videotape and the audio. You just got to play them.
Well, and like you said,
and lived out.
What you said, people, you have to think that a lot of people are just going to be going, I don't like our country right now.
Yeah.
I don't like our life. I don't like the cost at the grocery store. I don't like the out of control crime. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a story, either you, Fred, or Steve. I don't know when we'll get to it. Of gangs taking over a town in Colorado because they're spilling over from a sanctuary city of Denver.
Yep.
I can't
believe illegally.
Yes, who got here illegally. I can't believe people are going to say, I'm good with it, and I want another 4 years of
right.
Please, sir. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back in about 3 minutes. If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back, everybody. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. And I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson and Wesley Wildman. And we have the honor of, I don't know if we call him his honor, Abraham Hamilton III, general counsel. I guess that's only for judges. And host of the Hamilton Corner, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. Central Time. Abe, welcome back to Today's Issues.
Thank you. Good morning.
So you don't call an attorney his honor, right? Oh, that's for judges?
No. Yeah, that's for judges or like congress members.
Okay.
The honorable so-and-so.
All right.
But usually that's a title for judges.
But we honor you. We honor one another. That's kind of a biblical thing.
I'm honored to be honored by you.
Well, thank you.
And I honor you as well, reciprocally.
Yes, that's right. All right, Fred, we wanted to talk to Abe about something which has somehow crept back into the news with a new twist.
Well, Special Counsel Jack Smith, you equate his name with going after Donald Trump in various venues. Well, you remember a Supreme Court decision last month, a 63 decision by the United States Supreme Court that said Trump was absolutely immune from prosecution. Well, yesterday, Special Counsel Jack Smith let it be known that he is not through going after Donald Trump. And this is the January 6th cases. And basically, he has come back. Jack Smith went and got another grand jury. And he's coming back with the same criminal charges. But he narrows the allegations against Trump following that decision. Now, Abe, what I heard this morning is that he has removed the actions of a not using a justice system as president to go after the election results. But now Jack Smith wants to focus in what Donald Trump had to say under the umbrella of campaign comments. at least that's what I'm hearing. Is that what you're hearing?
Let me take a few steps back. First of all, the immunity decision from the Supreme Court said that the president, any president, so it is not personal to Donald John Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It is any president is absolutely immune from criminal prosecution for official acts that are pertinent to his office as the president of the United States.
Right.
The president would not enjoy absolute immunity for private acts. Okay. The original indictment from Jack Smith included allegations, factual allegations, because this indictment is the same factually. It's the same crimes being alleged. The difference is he's removed a Department of Justice employee who was originally indicted from the indictment. You've removed that employee from the indictment in an effort to narrow the scope to say, hey, Supreme Court, we're talking only about unofficial activity. Well, what remains to be seen, quite simply, not even what remains to be seen. The issue that is still as pertinent now as it was when the Supreme Court ruled before is whether or not a president has the lawful authority within his function as the chief executive of the chief commander in chief of the military, of course, but chief of the federal executive branch of government to ensure that any election is constitutionally up to snuff. So that has not changed at all. It has not changed at all. And it also, in my view, brings into the fore one of the arguments that Justice Clarence Thomas made in his concurring opinion in the immunity decision that called into question the appointment of a special counsel without the formation of the office of the special counsel as affirmed by the Senate. Justice Thomas made the argument that a private citizen, in this instance, Jack Smith, from where does he derive the constitutional authority to indict a sitting president of the United States? And that is the same rationale that Judge Cannon, employed in Florida when she dismissed the documents case. She called into question the entire scope of Jack Smith's appointment as special counsel and the funding of the special counsel office. And that is an issue that I think this superseding indictment is going to present more fully in this second go around with the same facts and the same crime allegations.
Okay, so let me see. And this is why we have you on, because I frankly did not understand this new reworked indictments from Jack Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I understand this correctly, excuse me.
Yes, you're trying to interfere with the election.
Yes. That was
true. Oh, sorry. I'll let you finish. You go.
Yeah, ahead. You're bringing up two different issues here. One would be the issue of whether President Trump, and listen, feel free, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is cloudy for me. Let me do the easy one first. Jack Smith, if he was illegally or unconstitutionally, might be a better way of putting it, appointed as a special prosecutor, is no better than just a private citizen and bringing these charges, and he does not have the authority to do that. That may be one issue. The other issue would be, does President Trump have the right under his official acts as president to challenge the legitimacy of the election results? Are those the two major areas?
Yeah, those are the two major areas. So to end with the latter one first, what Jack Smith's superseding indictment is endeavoring to do is to change who he's indicting. He's removed the Department of Justice employee. You literally had an Department of Justice employee who was helping President Trump with his approach to the 2020 election. So now Jack Smith has removed him from the indictment in an effort to say, see, we're not talking about official actions from the government or a governmental function. We're talking that this is solely a private matter. And the Trump team will argue, they have argued, and they will argue that this is not solely a private matter. This is a matter that, sure, Mr. Trump had interest in privately as a citizen, but he also has an interest as the president of the United States.
Right.
And so Jack Smith's team is trying to say, oh, no, this is solely a private issue. So that's one issue. The additional issue Justice Clarence Thomas presented during the immunity case deliberations, and he wrote a concurring opinion on it. He says specifically, we have an appointments clause, Article 2, Section 2 of the U.S. Constitution, that lays out the constitutional parameter for any federal appointments. And it's clear that Jack Smith's appointment did not occur through that process. So what we have here is the reality that a private American citizen has somehow been given the authority with no accountability to the American public, with no accountability to the voters, been given the authority to throw our constitutional order in complete chaos through a criminal prosecution. That belies what the founders established. And there is a process to do that if that is the prerogative, but it must be pursued constitutionally, to which Jack Smith's appointment fails to meet that standard. That's what Justice Thomas argued, and that's what Judge Cannon argued in her dismissal of the documents case in Florida.
Now, Abe, if I understand this correctly, Special Counsel Jack Smith now will go before the original judge in this case, U.S. District Judge Tanya Jutkin, is it? So he'll make these arguments before her. How do you think that's going to go?
Yeah, this superseding indictment, the first thing that everybody needs to understand, there's no way this is going to be heard before the election in November.
No.
There's going to be all kinds of of arguments made. Motion, the Trump team is going to file a motion to dismiss, if not one, several motions to dismiss. He's going to have extensive motion practice, but it most likely will go to the same court, and these arguments will be made, and more than likely, the issue is going to be brought all the way back up to the Supreme Court again. It's going to take a long time. In my view, it seems that Jack Smith is attempting to save face, because in November, if Mr. Trump wins re-election, then the Department of Justice case will change because the DOJ Attorney General will be replaced. You'll have entire new staff put into position. More than likely, this case will be filed into the dustbins of history. Conversely, because similar to Wesley's interjection earlier, many people believe that this really is a politically motivated prosecution. And so depending on what happens, if Mr. Trump doesn't win in November, the public interest in this matter will fade a bit. And frankly, now I'll just say this plainly, the Supreme Court got it right in addressing presidential prerogatives with absolute immunity for official acts, no immunity for private acts, and acts under the imprimatur of the office of the president should be protected because the founders envisioned having what Justice Thomas referred to as an energetic executive in order to discharge those duties. And so I believe this was a face-saving effort from Jack Smith and Merrick Garland, frankly, who were trying to say, well, he's independent of me, but but he's doing what I want him to do. But if he's doing what he wanted you to do, why didn't you just bring the prosecution yourself? Merrick Garland using an attorney general. And to show the contrast for people just to be aware, in other instances where you have special counsels appointed, you have an existing attorney general who's already an AG, U.S. attorney in a various state. You don't have a private citizen brought into the federal government to carry this thing. You would have a particular U.S. attorney that would carry it, but that did not occur in this particular instance. And so that is why Justice Thomas said what he said in the immunity decision. That's why Judge Cannon said what she said in the documents case.
All right, last question, Abe, then we'll let you go. And this is, you didn't know that I was going to ask you this. What do you think the odds are of Judge, Juan Merchan? This is in the hush money trial. Because sentencing is coming up.
Yeah.
What do you think the odds are that he orders Trump sent to prison?
I'll answer your question in several ways. First, if you are any criminal law practitioner will tell you, the odds of a first offender, nonviolent offender with no criminal history whatsoever, being sentenced to prison time never happens. If it happens, it's extremely, 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 extremely rare. So if that were to happen, that will be evidence of nothing other than political animus being employed. That being said, I do not think it's likely that jail time will be the sentence. If there is a sentence administered, I would expect a probation of some sort. I would be very surprised if a jail time sentence was administered. You're talking about in the same state to where Alvin Bragg said we're avoiding carceral sentences for violent felonies.
Right.
We're not putting people in prison for violent felonies. You clearly have in this instance, it is a business records reporting case. And you're talking about, well, I wonder if somebody's going to be put in prison. People don't traditionally and historically are not incarcerated for these types of violations.
Or how about house arrest during a campaign? He says,
which again is political,
right?
Political interference, obvious political interference. Now, I would not put that past him because that could be one way where Judge Marchand could satisfy the bloodthirsty politicos in New York while at the same time maintaining history of not having carceral sentences for nonviolent offenders.
Okay. All right. Abraham Hamilton III, general counsel and host of the Hamilton Corner, heard weekdays at 5 p.m. Central Time here at American Family Radio, has been our guest. Abe, you want to tease your show tonight in terms of what you're looking at?
Several different things I'm working through. I may go into more detail about this superseding indictment phenomenon. But in any event, it was an honor to be with you, gentlemen.
All right. Well, it's an honor to have you on.
I'm honored to be honored by you.
We're all honored by that honor. Thank you, Abe. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Abe really is just a blessing to have, working with us. Mm-hmm. As smart as the day is long. One of the smartest guys I know and have ever known. He just, his breadth of knowledge and the fact that he's a preacher, he brings that biblical understanding. When he does devotions here for our staff, it's a real treat. He just brings that biblical kingdom understanding to what's going on, and it is just a great benefit. And folks, I hope you tune in and listen to Abe's show. If you can't, we do have the podcast. Go to AFR.net, and at the top you'll see a row of drop-down menus. You can click on podcasts and check it out. And we have, frankly, a ton of hard-hitting news sources, plenty of encouragement on those podcasts. You can listen all your free time. When you're driving somewhere, you can be getting informed and encouraged at the same time. So check that out on AFR.net. All right, Fred, what's next?
Well, off the top of the show, we talked about the news this morning that the Kamala Harris campaign has agreed to do their first interview with CNN.
Right.
Everybody's been wondering, okay, she's been promising this interview. But we also reported that it's going to be a recorded interview to be played back tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, I think it is. And then also she's going to have her running mate, Tim Walz, with her, which a lot of people are scratching their head about. Why would they do that? Well, so that's one big event. The next big event for the Harris campaign is going to be the debate, which is occurring a week from this coming Tuesday. Now, there's been a lot of talk about, is it going to be the same way as the Trump-Biden debate, the same rules? In other words, mics were muted when one of the candidates was talking, and it went back and forth, and we know how that debate went.
Mm-hmm. It sunk the Biden campaign.
It did.
Yeah.
It was historic.
Yeah.
In the way of ending a campaign by one of the candidates. So what we're hearing right now, I'm seeing on BBC News that there's an agreement reached for the September 10 debate, because there's been a lot of talk about the Harris campaign wanting the mics to be unmuted. In other words, they could stab back and forth, and there was a lot of talk about that. And also there was some talk about the Harris campaign wanted her to be able to have notes in front of her. So apparently there's been some kind of agreement. We'll wait and see to get the details on that. I think Trump basically said, you know, bring it on, whatever you want to do. I'm going to be fine with that. Initially, he had restricted it to whatever the setup was, whatever the rules were for the Biden debate. I'm cool with that. But then apparently the Harris campaign at least entertained the ideas of making some modifications. So we'll see what happens there. But I think we should put out a little warning here. I think Kamala Harris is going to be a tougher debater than Joe Biden was.
Right.
She has done debates before, and she can respond. And I think her campaign is looking for those special moments out of the debate to try to make Donald Trump look bad.
Right.
She has debated in the past, and she has pointed her finger at her opponent saying, I'm speaking now.
Yeah. Try to show herself as being in charge.
Trying to show herself. So don't underestimate her ability to do well that night. I think for Donald Trump, I think she's going to try to get under his skin. I think she's going to try to make him look bad and frustrated. Right. That's going to be her play on that night. So as we said, the CNN interview is going to be recorded. This is going to be a live event on ABC. That's one of the things that some conservatives are worried about. ABC has not been friendly to Donald Trump.
Right.
And I'm not sure who the cast of questioners are going to be on that debate, but it could. Don't expect the same kind of result as we did with the Biden debate. This is going to be different.
Yeah, Wesley.
I'm reading here. I'm trying to figure out what the agreements are. That's the reason.
Yeah, we are looking to see if there's I checked too while you were talking,
I'm not
Fred.
Seeing a list.
I was trying to see if there's anything breaking about what they had agreed upon. I don't know if that. I haven't found
yet.
Anything.
Not no. yet.
So to Fred's point, excuse me, Wesley, Vice President Harris may be able to. I don't know how, you know, what the format's going to be. Is it they ask a question. You have 2 minutes to answer. You have 60 seconds to answer. Vice President Harris is fully capable of memorizing some sort of a response.
Sure.
Where she is not as good is when she has to think on her feet, because I don't think there's a lot of depth to her political knowledge and understanding. I've said repeatedly, I'm certainly not alone on this, I think she's in over her head. That doesn't mean she's a stupid person. That just means she could be very intelligent, but you get to a certain level and you are beyond your,
that's right,
your reach.
Your skill.
Your skill.
Or whatever.
Okay, and I think that's where she is. But
that's Fred's a very point, good way of saying that. I agree 100% with that.
Listen, you put me into, I don't think I'm a dumb person. I'm not the smartest person on the planet. But you put me into a laboratory.
Yeah, sure.
And a white lab coat and say, hey, I want you to look at the microscope. Okay, well, I'm in over my head.
Right, exactly.
I might be looking through a textbook and saying, sure, okay, is this bacteria? I think this is bacteria. Mm. Okay, I think that's where she
absolutely
is politically. Yeah. But she could memorize
enough
to sound like she's got
maybe
some depth. And
could,
then, to Fred's point, if she spends the debate trying to get Donald Trump to make a disastrous, catastrophic response,
sure,
that could work to her advantage.
Yeah, it could. It's gonna take a lot though for her to come out on top of this. If the rules stay in place, or if President Trump disciplines himself, if the rules are the opposite, because the rules in the first debate with President Joe Biden, those rules benefited someone like a Trump.
Yes.
Okay. It actually had it net favored him. Okay. Yeah. Well, in the event that for some reason they change it and they go back to the debates that we all, it's like a food fight.
Right.
Okay. Then it's not going to favor Trump unless, for some reason, he says to himself, I know we're not going by those rules, but it worked for me, so why,
yes,
don't I discipline myself to stay,
right,
within the rules personally? But either way, it's going to be a real difficult thing. He would have to really mess it up, that he meaning President Trump,
yeah,
to lose this debate. If he does what he did before and he stays on the message, even with, I don't mind personally, this is my personal preference, I don't mind an occasional snarky comment or something.
Right.
Here's what I mean by that. So I didn't mind at all when he said, President Joe Biden, yeah, you beat healthcare, you beat it to death.
Yes,
okay,
right.
I don't mind that.
And that was a good shot.
It's a good shot. Those types of things, I don't mind that. I don't even mind if he goes a little further than that sometimes, me personally. However, I hear what you're saying. Her learn memory, and she's gonna have to strategize,
because
on paper she doesn't win this. It doesn't look good. In fact, there's a reason why they keep going back and forth.
Right.
Because
you think they're nervous.
They're nervous. Absolutely. So I don't know. We'll see. But I don't think she has much of a chance here.
Yeah. In any case, we'll find out in pretty short order. We come back from Labor Day weekend,
right,
on Tuesday, and that's 1 week out.
Yes.
So it's a week from this coming Tuesday is the first, maybe the only presidential debate. Now, we will probably have at least one vice presidential debate, but that hasn't been set up either.
No.
And we're running out of time.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
I guess what I was trying to get to, you got to think he's going to say something along the lines, President Trump. Well, like, let's say she says, well, the border comes up. You got to think he's going to say, well, what made you change your mind?
Yeah.
And what's the answer to that? Because she hadn't had to answer that yet.
I just fully expect her to lie. I know that's not nice. I fully expect her to say, you are mischaracterizing my previous statements.
There you go.
And mischaracterizing what I have believed all along. I am for a secure border. I was never the border czar. I don't know where you get that. What I'm saying,
okay,
is just going to be you, because all she has to do is come across as presidential in that debate, and I think she survives.
He survives, okay? Fair, yeah.
She survives. But if she puts out some whoppers, things that the American people clearly don't believe,
mm-hmm,
then she could be in trouble. We talked about that we just mentioned, that that debate between, I've been watching presidential debates since I was in junior high school.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen a single debate change the course of an election season.
Yeah.
Okay. Because Biden, everybody was all in on the left, the media, everyone. Joe Biden is sharp as a tack. He's riveting. He's better than I've ever seen him. And man, he's good. Okay. Overnight.
Yeah.
And that wasn't even overnight.
No.
The night of.
Yes.
The news media, they were, and they knew that Trump Biden was in trouble.
Yeah.
And after that, everyone called for him to step aside.
Yeah.
I've never seen any of that happen.
No.
One debate.
Yes.
That could happen a week from this coming Tuesday.
Yeah. It all depends. It's going to depend on how vigorous the questions are, because we have seen debates where one candidate gets softballs.
Yes.
Where a debate, one of the hosts, one of the moderators fact checks the one candidate.
Candy Crowley did that famously.
Yes.
CNN anchor.
And then had to walk things back a little bit afterwards, because even, you know, if they were liberals, they said, wait a minute, moderator is fact checking.
Yes.
Just one candidate.
During the debate.
During the debate.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, that's going to be must-see TV.
Yep.
Will it change things dramatically? Stay tuned.
Yep. Well, a lot of times I've always compared election season before a presidential election to a really good pennant race in baseball, and that's what we have, folks. It is down to the wire, with the exception of the one big difference is our republic is at stake.
Yeah.
So we don't want the communists winning. All right, folks, we're going to take a five-minute break for news, and we will return. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We hope you'll join us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.